What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away? Or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play? Or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? Come see me at visitmo.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it on.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music.
Welcome to Monday Night Raw.
Yo ho ho and a bottle of Dom.
Bro.
The new day.
Let me talk to you.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the demon dogs.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney, and I am the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It doth be DPP.
Trying to think of something fun to say, but I don't know. Got a new phone.
Oh, very good.
The iPhone 16? New case, new everything.
Surprising color.
What? I mean, it may or it may not be green to those listening, but.
Very nice. How much did the iPhone 16 cost you?
Zero.
Oh, part of your plan?
Zero. Thank you to said company, yes.
There you go.
Because my other one took a crap on me, basically, so it was time. And I said, hey, company, what phone are you giving away right nowadays? And they were like, the 16. I'm like, oh, jackpot. Like, I will take the one with the USB-C. I am happy. Get rid of all those lightning cables now.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, I thought, you know how you got the, just to lay it on the old charger there instead of plugging it in?
Yeah.
I thought I had fried the back of my phone and it wasn't accepting anymore, but it was actually the port that the cable plugged into that would plug into like an outlet was fried.
Ooh.
So, well, that's fine. It's not my phone, at least. You know what I'm saying?
You could still charge it. That's nice. It's a bonus.
The other way, it's just they're lint. I have it in my pocket, and there's probably a lot of lint in there, so it kind of got to wiggle it a little bit.
Sure. So it's like the old Nintendos. You gotta blow on it a little bit and then stick it in there.
I don't know, you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe a little rubbing alcohol and like a toothpick or something would get, you know, dissolve some of that, get it out there.
That's good. Maybe there's some corrosion going on.
Why don't they have a phone cover that has a little flip in that plugs in there so then you can pull it in and out, and when you put it in your pocket, you don't get any lint in there?
I'm not going to say that those exist.
Patent pending?
Because those exist.
Patent pending?
The only problem is if you look for one of those, it's usually a larger case, you know, one of those more heavy duty cases, and I don't like the big case. I like the thinner.
I am a fan of the mini phone as well.
Yeah.
So
I like the minimalist case to it. So the bigger cases, there are that option where it has that covered little thing, but I don't know. I feel it like every time I try it, I've tried to use one before, and then I'm getting annoyed because I have to flip the thing out of there and then plug it in and flip the thing back in, and yeah, the hell with it.
The thing is, though, it's like, well, it should just be kind of like, it should just kind of attach and detach. It should be stay on the thing. You just pop it in and out.
Yeah, but then you still got to get your finger and
flip problem out too, of though. The bigger the case and the bigger the phone, the less likely you're to carry it around in your pocket anyway. So, you know what I mean? This is something I need for, like, you know, it should just.
It's a little guy.
It's real easy. I don't get it.
Can you do it on its own? Just its own little thing without even the case? Make a little thing. I bet you I could 3D print one for you.
What if I just had a case that had a the case just covered it, and when I want to charge it, take the fucking case off?
There you go. Just disrobe your phone to charge it. It's like when you get really into bed, you know, you just take your clothes off and you lay down, recharge.
Sure. I don't have to plug myself into anything.
Maybe you don't. I got one of those. I got one of those smart beds, you know.
I got a PC and the robot. Yeah, I got a PC and a robot here. That's awesome. That's great. All right. Well, we've gabbed long enough. Let's take a commercial break. And when we come back, I'll let everybody know what we're talking about. Right now, it's DWI 469 here on Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com. Don't drink and drive. Drink and podcast. And head on over to your most nearest browser and go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick yourself up a Chairshot t-shirt. Makes a great gift as well. Plenty of cool designs. Spend a couple extra dollars and get it in soft style. Your epidermis will appreciate it. DPP over there. PC Tunney over here. World's greatest tag team never. Be back right after this.
What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? Come see me at visitmo.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, DP, let's let everybody know what's happening this week on the podcast known as DWI.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
Need a big list of sheets. One sheet.
Yeah, we got it.
Big list.
We got, what do we got? I got half a dozen wrestling topics and then a last call. So Cena threatens to retire as champ. Roman, Seth, and Punk coming together. EO and Rhea coming up on Monday for the title. Jey Uso slips, in quotes, again. El Grande Americano is just a topic solamente on its own. And LA Knight will take on Braun Strowman tonight on Friday Night SmackDown, or this afternoon. They got to be in Europe still, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. I don't get, like, I can't have anywhere to watch SmackDown early because I think internationally it's on Netflix, but, like, here it's on USA, obviously. So it's great. The past few Mondays I get home from work. Raw, boom, 3:30 in the afternoon. Fucking great. Don't even, like, I'm done watching it 2 hours before I'd even start watching it at night. So, love that. Anyway, DPP, go ahead and ring the bell. I don't want to lead the witness, Your Honor. So, what are your thoughts on John Cena's promo this past week?
Oh, I loved it. You know, it takes me back to CM Punk threatening to retire with their leave with the belt for out of Chicago when he beat John Cena and disappeared for a month and came back cult of personality. I would absolutely love it if Cena won the title, just said he retired, disappeared for a month, gives him a chance to be off, and then come back with the title, however they want to do it, and kind of almost in a sense run that back. I mean, they don't necessarily have to have like two titles or something or whatever, but I think him kind of doing that would be pretty awesome, you know, and in some ways them trying to get him back to like, hey, no, you can't retire. You got to come back, and continues that whole thing as well. Like there's a lot of options that can go with that. If he did walk out of WrestleMania with the title and in a sense, you know, retire. So I loved it. I thought it was an awesome promo.
I mean, the promo was fine, right? Like John's always going to deliver on the mic. I just don't like the concept of, okay, when I win, I'm done. That's it. You'll never see me again. I'm taking the title with me. You'll never have a real champion again. It's all over. Well, that clearly isn't going to happen either. And no matter what happens, that's not going to happen, right? So already my brain is having problems computing because you're crossing the wires of me trying to be able to suspend my disbelief when I already know that you're not going to do that. So it leads me to believe that he's not going to win the title. And you know what? That's not a horrible thing, because think about what you could be having here. And we've said this before. It's all about Cody, right? This whole thing is about Cody. Since he beat Roman, since they decided he was going to beat Roman last year, it's all about Cody. So at one WrestleMania, Cody loses to Roman. At the next one, Cody beats Roman, right? At the next WrestleMania, Cody beats John Cena. And at the next WrestleMania, Cody beats, everybody say it with me, The Rock. Do you see the evolution of Cody Rhodes being bumped up the ladder? And now you not only have the OTC, you also have built Cody now. And then as you're doing that, someone else is going to get built in behind that as well, right? So I don't know. I still would like to see him have the title and just defend it all summer, you know, pay-per-view to pay-per-view, and win in bad ways or whatever the storyline is going to be that way. But here's the thing. We don't know, and that's fine. It did seem a little bit like the Punk thing. Like we've seen this before. I'll get to that when we talk about Gable. But I am enjoying it. I as much as I nitpick other products, I gotta be honest when I'm like, oh, really? I just don't see that happening. And I really don't want to see the whole, I retire, I have to get talked back and given something to come back by Triple H or whatever, you know, talked back into, you know, okay. I think there's better things to do than that.
Well, see, also, here's
the last thing I want to say is, we might have been just right all along where he's going to just continue to chase this thing till the end, right?
Absolutely. And totally could be. And like, I think you hit it really well too, because think of the swings folks on this podcast just had in the matter of a couple weeks here, where all of a sudden Dave and, you know, them were just, well, clearly John Cena is going to win the title at WrestleMania now. And now after this week, you're thinking, well, after that promo, well, he can't win the title then. He's not going to win the title because he's not going to retire with it or whatever. So it's adding that other thought to everything too, which is what makes it even better, I think, is because now you're thinking, well, is he going to win or is he not going to win? And, you know, who's going to walk out of WrestleMania with the champ, with the title? And it's perfect. It's I think it's really great that we have that option. And then you mentioned The Rock. That's a good point, because where does The Rock fit into this? And if Cena wins the title, like if he's The Rock's champion and sold his soul, The Rock's just going to let him walk away and disappear with the title? I just don't see that necessarily happening either. So that could be part of the story as well. And maybe the, you know, the year-long build up, or longer, I guess, build up to, yeah, Cody beats Cena this year at WrestleMania. Now he's got to take on The Rock finally. And finally, you know, conquers The Rock, and he's, you know, the people's champion, so-called. So, yeah, I think they're doing a really good job with this story. I didn't think it was going to turn out as the way it did, but it's great.
Did you see the comments from the kid in Brussels that got roasted by Cena?
Yeah.
Like, did you see how normal this kid is? He's like, yeah, I love John Cena. I didn't expect him to give me shit, but I knew he was in character and doing what, you know, he was supposed to do. So I'm okay with it. I still love John Cena. Like, hey, IWC, like, read that little kid's comments and how normal and sane and how he doesn't take everything so seriously, and take that as an example for yourselves.
Good luck with that.
But I mean, like, what a well-rounded response from, like, a little kid.
How does that happen? How do you pull that if it wasn't a plant? Like, the fact that he called that kid out, the timing was so well done. They contact him to do this interview, and he's that much of a well-rounded kid, understands what's going on, and, like, almost played the part. Like, did such a good job.
Did everything short of saying, I was just honored to be playing a part of the story. You know what I mean? Right. Like, in a total, that's kind of what he said. Yeah. Like, he goes, I still love John Cena, you know?
Right. And there is it's almost a great example of what's going to probably happen shortly down the road after however this falls out, is John Cena is going to have to turn back to babyface before he's done. Right. I mean, he has to end that way, I would think. And there's already them saying, you know, I still love John Cena, so he can easily just earn it.
You bring up a great point. I think he just naturally, as people understand there's less and less time left in the year, they're naturally just going to stop booing him and start cheering him. Now, like, they could be like, Kurt Angle, you suck. They could still be doing the John Cena sucks to finish his career, but I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm interested to see how well they're going to do this. I'm on the fence right now. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it's all going to be what happens after Mania. So it's enjoy the ride here all the way to WrestleMania, because it's great the way the way it is now, and we'll see what happens after that.
I couldn't agree more. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk will get their triple threat match at WrestleMania. And from everything you hear, it sounds like it's got to be worth more than that. There's a favor to be cashed in as well. You know, Paul Heyman is not just Roman Reigns' wise man, but, you know, also an advocate for a previous champion. Or what was he for Punk? Was he advocate for Brock?
He was the advocate for Brock. He was just there for Punk. He was just a manager because he was a Paul Heyman guy. That was it.
I can't wait for the match, to be honest with you. I think the match is going to be sick. Who wins here?
Boy.
As we sit three weeks from this Saturday. Yeah.
I could speculate if you want. I mean,
well, that's what we're here for, jackass.
I mean,
give me some uke on opening day here as we record.
Dynamite drop in money at broadcast school has really paid off.
We're on a wrestling podcast, and he's after 468 episodes of the 469th. Well, I could speculate on some of this stuff.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Oh, we missed you, Yuke.
Oh, man.
I don't know if it was a local call or what. Yeah, it must have been one of the local calls. But on the home run, Vinny Capra, I think that was the guy's name, that played third for the Brewers. The announcer did, at the end of the shot, you know, do the get up, get out of here, gone. Yeah.
Nice. That's beautiful.
But anyway, please do speculate, DP, right, here on this Guy Wrestling Podcast.
Well, I believe it was Andrew Belaz last week that mentioned watch Paul Heyman.
Wait, I think I have a quote. I think I have caught a clip. Yeah.
Oh. I butt chug salt water all the time.
Was that it?
That is true. That is
butt chug blue cheese. You know, the alliteration's nice, but it don't work.
I do remember him saying that last week. That was not what I was referring to. He mentioned watch Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman will tell you exactly what's going on. And it continues to be true to this day. You watch Paul Heyman in the transition into becoming the wise man. He wore the blue outfits, the blue suit, did the certain mannerisms. When Roman Reigns left and Solo tried to take over, you watch the suit turn to red underneath, black with red. You watch the bags under his eyes start to go. He looked more disheveled, more tired, more worn out, obviously not happy. Then you watch the transition come back. Back to the blue suits, back to being the wise man. Now, CM Punk comes into play again. And now, watch the suits change. He was wearing all black on Monday Night Raw, or SmackDown, when they did. No tie. The change is happening again. And I believe the change is coming where he goes with CM Punk. And so I think CM Punk's going to win this thing. And there's going to be a changing of the guards here in some way, shape, or form with Paul Heyman going back over to CM Punk. I don't know what this favor is. I heard a couple other rumors that potentially the favor could just be him telling Heyman, you know, hey, I need you. You need to come with me now. And I want this match to main event WrestleMania night one. And maybe that's how we get it. I'm not a fan of that, but it's could be a somewhat of an explanation to say, well, CM Punk got his main event at WrestleMania and that's what he wanted. Just because it wasn't for the title, it's still the main event because it closed the night. Well, if that's it, it doesn't feel big enough to me. I feel like if he wanted to main event WrestleMania, he would want to do it for a title, not just for this match, which isn't necessarily saying this match is going to be bad or not a great match, but it's not for a title. And I feel like main eventing WrestleMania, if CM Punk came back to do that, it would be for some kind of the major title. So I hope that's not what the favor necessarily is. And, you know, it's a little bigger than just, hey, I just wanted to main event WrestleMania and this triple threat. So one way or another, I think Heyman's going with Punk. Punk's winning this triple threat and, you know, getting back into the title picture. But I think it's, again, watch Paul Heyman and he's going to tell you what's happening with this match.
Rollins is almost like an afterthought in this triple threat, unfortunately. It's really kind of weird.
How sad is that?
So Rollins was on the NFL Network, NFL show this past week. Go on YouTube and find it. And the guy who does, I don't know his name, who's one of the regulars on their morning show, cuts this promo and has been a fan of Seth Rollins like from way back. Goes into Tyler. Did you see this clip?
I watched it. Yep.
Yeah, it's just something amazing to watch this guy go off and like his producer's trying to tell him to wrap it up. And he goes into like full Oscar fucking winning mode. Like, don't tell me to wrap up. I've been waiting to do this my entire life. But yeah, that was pretty fun. So Adam Pearce came out and said, no, that just because you put your name on this contract, Rhea, does not mean that you are in the main, you are in the women's championship match. It's not a triple threat at WrestleMania, right? You are owed a title rematch though. And so now it's going to happen Monday on Raw. And the winner supposedly is going to face Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. I don't think for a moment we're not getting the triple threat match, which is what I want. But maybe we aren't. Maybe this is just a way, because everybody's talking about Rhea and Bianca. Maybe this is just a way for like the Chris Jericho EO, right? like, no, I'm going to beat Rhea. Now you're out. And then we get to WrestleMania. I'm going to beat Bianca, and I'm still the champ, and I'm Io Sky, and I'm one of the best in the ring in the world. That's for sure. What are your thoughts on this? This has been another great storyline.
Yeah, this has been took an interesting turn when Io won the title, and the fact that they're pulling it together and making it a triple threat, I thought was still great. And like you said, Io Sky is one of the best in the world, and I have, as much as it's the story's really been Rhea and Bianca, I have absolutely no problem putting Io Sky in any kind of match, because she just brings something completely different to the table that, you know, nobody else can match. I don't see them at this point going away from that. I mean, maybe obviously they can do whatever the hell they want, but I don't see taking Io out of this match at this point makes it any better, or taking Rhea out, I don't think makes any bit of sense either, because where does Rhea fit in at WrestleMania then if you don't have her in this match?
Oh, I pretty much agree. And for the people that are like, whoa, you know, two triple threat matches, I'm like, really? Go back to like the late 90s and early 2000s, where every card was all multi-person matches. Like, don't even start with me, okay? Just don't.
You never had a singles match.
it's two fucking nights. Right. Back in the day, he had nine matches was on one card with 72 wrestlers on the card in those nine matches. Think about it.
Think about the tag team turmoil, 10 teams that would go through, then followed by a singles, eight man match for the IC title, and 18 people in a hardcore match.
And in those nine matches, there'd be 36 superplexes.
Oh, God, the superplex.
It's a superplex. It's up. Superplex Sunday.
Here it comes. Oh, boy.
How many pay-per-views between Mania 14 and, like, Mania 20 had multiple superplexes?
Oh, it was every match. I mean, you're not even joking. It was every match. I think that's where I lost my flavor for, like, all right, like, can you guys talk about what you're going to do in the match so that you don't duplicate some of this shit? Because it's so bad.
Hey, guys, we're going to do a superplex tonight. Yeah, so are we. Yeah, it's two. Superplex.
Hey,
all right.
Is that your superplex? Hey, superplex over there.
Hey, everybody else is doing a superplex. You want to do a superplex tonight? All right, sweet. Goodness.
Hey, give me a superplex. What? Superplex me. Isn't Scotty doing one in the next match? I don't give a fuck. Do one. All right.
I'm scared. Man, I don't even want to go to the top rope.
I don't give a fuck, dude. I'm putting you up there right now.
Let's talk about Jey Uso and his new storyline of yakking it up in the ring, stepping on his own dick, slipping. You know, first it was the failed suicide dive over the top rope, right? Out of the ring. And now it's the trying to, you know, launch himself from the corner with the spear, and he slips like a runner coming out of the gate slow and in track and field. The big question that a lot of people are asking is, was the first one intentional? Because the second one was definitely intentional.
I don't think the first one was intentional. They screw up. Superstars are going to screw up. I get it. And we laugh at them, and then we're okay, and then we move on. For the most part, I mean, really, it doesn't. I don't care. I don't care if it's AEW, WWE, wherever. Like, it's fine. If AEW guys want to give them a hard time or whatever,
listen,
get over.
You want to hear the worst? You want to hear the worst about screwing up is back in the day when they would tape SmackDown. I think SmackDown wasn't live; only Raw was, right?
Yeah.
And Vince would send back out like after the show was over when the fans were still there to like redo, hey everybody, we're gonna redo this now, so pretend. And how embarrassing would it be for the wrestler to have to go back out there and redo it, you know?
Right. Oh, brutal. I can't even, I'd never been to a show where they had to do that, but I can't even imagine being in the audience and going, hey guys, remember what we did before? Never happened.
I'm totally not cooperating with you here.
Right.
This is, the show's already over. This is bullshit. Fuck that guy.
I'm going to hold up a giant clock that says this is the real time.
Maybe we shouldn't wear fucking body oil on the ropes and jump up and hook onto him, you dumb fuck.
Yeah, it's funny that they tried to turn it into a story, but can we just move on? I mean, they're gonna call it. Are they gonna give it to like he's got the yips? And then when he gets in the ring with Gunther at Mania, everything comes back together. Well, I hope to God he hits 100% of his fucking shit then.
Yeah, no kidding. Jimmy laid one in though. Gunther, that slap was pretty righteous. Let me tell you.
Sure, you just like, I don't really want to get a good one in on him. I'm sure he didn't get one good one back.
Smarts, doesn't it? That's the best it's gonna get.
Oh, I need that soundbite.
I think it would be pretty shocking if Gunther held on to the belt at WrestleMania.
It's got to be the biggest odds, in my opinion, of that happening.
From what early on, I'm pretty sure that's what I saw, and it was like, you know, minus like 1050 or something like that.
Crazy. Yeah.
Let's talk about another storyline that I'm enjoying, but yet feels like I've seen this before. In El Grande Americano.
Is that Mr. America?
That's part of it. You know, though, here, I mean, Penta was unsuccessful in trying to win the IC title from Bron Breakker. I would like to see Chad Gable beat Bron Breakker for this title at WrestleMania, and not Braun doesn't move on from the title though, and from the feud. This is the feud of the summer. Like this, these guys fight at every pay-per-view and they can flip flop that belt or have a weird finish or not, and maybe do a flip flop or not. But they should feud from WrestleMania to SummerSlam. That would be a huge, that would put both those guys on main event level. And that's what they really want to do with those two guys, because they both have personalities and personas and mic skills, and you know, Gable's got such an amazing repertoire in the ring as long as he can stay healthy, right? And then Bron Breakker's got that lineage that just he brings that with him, you know.
Yeah, they both have every tool in the book to be a main event superstar, and Breakker's so and still so young too, and he's got all of that plus the power, you know, behind him too, that he could just make moves look devastating. And Gable with just, they both have the incredible, like, amateur wrestling skill on top of every other wrestling skill. And, you know, you mentioned Kurt Angle earlier too. Like, that's, Gable's always been compared to Kurt Angle for how long? And they could, I would love to see that. I don't know if they'll do it, but either way, I think keeping them, if they want to throw Penta in there and a couple other guys in that mix of IC titles where they're all intertwined and have and can put on matches, then awesome. Even if it's not just them two, you know, if you throw Penta in there, I can't even think of anybody else now. Blanking. But.
I'm just texting Ray.
Oh boy.
I wasn't really listening. I just heard Lion King and it started singing.
You mean like Ray Phoenix, maybe?
I apologize for not listening. Now I heard Ray Phoenix, I'm listening. I'll shut up so you can talk now.
But, you know, kind of agreeing with what you're saying, and them two, Gable and Breakker, feuding for the IC title, but throwing a couple other guys in there if they have to. Like, I don't know if they'll do it the whole time, but I think because they could put on such incredible matches that they can both get each other over. And if they'd want to throw in Penta and throw in, you know, if Ray Phoenix is coming in or something, and you know, another guy or something to just mix it up a little bit or throw some triple threats or whatever, like you could put all of those guys right into the top main event picture by letting them just put on 5-star matches every night, every pay-per-view. Could be crazy.
No, I agree. The mid card is really strong right now. There's just so many guys that are right there, either been champion, you know, briefly, or are like right at the precipice of possibly being a bigger champion. On and both brands, right? US, we're going to get to shortly, but Bron Breakker has just been super special. That's why I just think him and Gable would be so special. There's nothing really indicating that's going to happen yet, but like it just feels like it should, shouldn't it?
Really does. I mean, then they're bringing that, the fact that they're bringing Gable back into the fold into this. Unless with Penta.
Didn't he already face Finn Balor though? Like with the whole Judgment Day thing that they just went through. I feel like Penta is more going to be involved with the Judgment Day now than Bron Breakker, right?
I'm hoping that it seems like it. And I'm hoping that because they were trying to recruit Penta, and I'm hoping that this is the kind of the breakup of that, because it seems like that's where they're pushing it, and Finn's gonna, you know, break out of that too, and they all just kind of go their separate ways, and they got to bring Rey Mysterio back into this too to kind of finish that off, and maybe that's the end, is Penta and Mysterio versus Finn and Dom or something, and they move it on.
Rey and Dragon Lee have been having some really good tag team matches, so, you know, the tag team divisions have been pretty strong. I'm interested to see what they start to set up on both sides for the tag team divisions. They're pretty deep there. I like the Street Profits carrying the titles into WrestleMania here, see who can chase them on one side. So it should be fun. It should be a good time. Talked about the U.S. title. L.A. Knight will take on Braun Strowman on SmackDown tonight. I feel like we're going to get some bloodline interference here after what happened last week with Jacob Fatu and Braun Strowman, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anything clean coming out of this U.S. title match.
Another WrestleMania triple threat.
Say what? Oh, everybody's going to lose their minds.
This match will be on SmackDown. That title will be defended on April 18th, I'm telling you, right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't be surprised if there's more than a triple threat too, if they throw in more people into this match, because there's a lot of, like you kind of said, there's a lot of talent in the mid card too, and they seem to be all over the place with this U.S. title, so you could easily throw in a lot of guys and just make it a bigger match if you wanted to, especially if you're not going to do like the battle royal or anything.
No, I couldn't agree more. What else? Anything else? Main roster? You want to talk about anything NXT caught your eye or anywhere else? Any wrestling related things?
I didn't get the chance to see anything on NXT, so I can't really comment on that one. And
Vakira defended both of her titles, I believe, successfully.
Yes, I did see that. And Jordan Grace came out to make the save and kind of held on to that NXT women's title a little tight when she was handing it back. So obviously they seem to be setting up that, which will be a huge main event match.
Right.
Which should be really, that would be really fun to watch. Hopefully WrestleMania weekend or whenever they do it now. I guess they do it a different weekend now because it's too full.
And then deliver. I think it's Saturday, like afternoon, isn't it?
Is it? Okay. I don't remember if they switched it around yet.
No,
WrestleMania is 2 days now.
But I thought it was last year. It was Saturday, like early afternoon.
Man, that was like a year ago.
Yeah, she retained both titles. She beat Jada Parker and Fallon Henley.
And that will be April 19th. It will be Saturday. So there you go.
Nope.
Beauty.
I'm looking forward to her eventually coming up, Roxanne being up full time, Obafemi at some point coming up. I think that guy's going to be ridiculous.
He's gonna be a beast.
I'm sure with people he can work with. You know, I seen a YouTube clip of when AJ Styles was on Van Vliet, and he's never fought Punk in the WWE. Never had a singles televised singles match against Punk in the WWE.
Okay.
It's just random, that like thing that came up that I remember that I watched today. And he was like, should it happen? He's like, yeah, it should happen. You know, they did Ring of Honor, but never WWE. So that's interesting. Maybe, like, I know AJ's good planning on retiring soon. Like, that could be a last match thing for AJ. I feel like Punk is going to be around as long as he's still healthy for a while here.
I would think so too. I mean, I don't think he has any plans to really go anywhere as long as he's healthy, and that would be a really cool build.
So this is 41. I see Punk at least being around through 43, probably 44. As long as he's healthy. I mean, he's no more crazy injuries. Like if he's got something, he doesn't, he's on TV, but he doesn't wrestle for 6 weeks. Fine. But this thing where he's out for 8 months again, that might hinder something to where the comeback is to have just one more match,
Yeah. The lighter workload is definitely out there. And as long as he's, can do that, he'll be fine. And could definitely go a few more years. Avoiding just any major catastrophes, like you said. I don't see that being a problem. And unless they're going to, obviously he's on more with the push to WrestleMania. If they ever, he ends up ever getting the, heavyweight title, I bet you he would want to show up a little more often than the usual big breaks.
Who knows if they ever have plans for him to have it, though, either.
Yeah. Don't know. I think at least one more run with him having a title would be a smart move, I think.
Even just being like a transition champion for like a month or a week or 2 days, even, win it on Saturday and lose it on Monday Night Raw or something, like still came back and won the title. I would like to see it happen. I don't know. I don't think he'd be the guy to beat Cena if Cena wins it. I think if Cena beats Cody, Cody's the guy that beats Cena.
Yeah, I think if Cena ends up winning the title and, if it doesn't happen the way we thought initially, where he like wins it at the end of his run and says, okay, I'm done or something, it's going to be somebody like Cody winning it back, or if they have somebody else wanting to put over that big, they'll do that too. But I don't see anybody like Punk. Punk doesn't need that.
Oh, how about Austin Theory?
What?
Where's the studio laughter? I got it here somewhere. Oh, there it is. What about Austin Theory? Yeah, old Pizza Funny got him again. All right. Well, I think we got one last commercial break to take. Am I correct? And when we come back, we got a last call. We'll round the horn sports style. This is DWI 469. Don't drink and drive. Drinking podcast.
Now a word from my god, our sponsor.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
A last call for alcohol.
What do you mean it's last call?
What do you mean? What do I mean? It's last call. And this is the last thing we're going to talk about. Yeah, I like them apples, huh?
That worked.
Yeah. So, we talked about it already. Let's lead off with it. It is Thursday evening, early evening, as we record. You're listening Friday, likely before SmackDown. That's what we intend as we record Thursday nights now. I still wish SmackDown was on Tuesday and we could record on Fridays. I know you like to move to Thursday because you're off on Friday.
It works out well for me, yes. I still wish SmackDown was on Tuesdays, though, so we had both Raw and SmackDown from the week to cover, which is kind of nice. We're just in a different rotation.
Yeah, I mean, we do. It's just like right before, and it's not a bad thing because it comes out Friday morning. You're kind of re-remembering what happened as you get revved up for likely LA Knight pinning Braun Strowman because of bloodline interference tonight. But let's talk about
No contest.
All right. no Bob Uecker for us. A really nice tribute to him. today by Major League Baseball, by ESPN, and, you know, by the Brewers and everything else. But any trips to watch the Brewers play, you got a like a fond memory of going to the ballpark? I mean, you can think a little bit. Mine is, you know, you remember Mark Ortiz, right?
Yep.
So me, Mark, his brother Mike, and his grandpa, we're going to County Stadium. And this is 91, 92, maybe 93 at the latest. And we saw a triple play.
Oh, wow.
It was Jeff Cirillo to ground ball. Oh, it was first and second. Obviously, nobody out because you can't have a triple play if there's any outs. And it was Cirillo was playing really close to the third baseline and maybe like two strides beyond the bag as you head into the outfield. And it was like a super hard one chopper. Like it was like a line drive halfway that hit in the ground halfway between him, you know, and the batter, and just rolls right up into his glove as he came charging forward, stepped on third, pivoted through to second. Vina was already there, and like by two steps over to Jaha, triple play. And the triple play, the triple play, I believe, is more rare than a perfect game, if I'm not incorrect. And I will research that as DP tells you one of his favorite moments of going to the ballpark, a major league game. Unless you want to go with your Corpus Christi or your Milwaukee. Dan is a big fan of minor league baseball, by the way, from Corpus Christi all the way up to Franklin, Wisconsin, and the Milkman.
I've seen the hooks and the Milkman. I'm making the rounds in the minor leagues. And I love the minor league mascots and t-shirts as well. So that's probably the biggest reason.
It's a different atmosphere. It's like comparing going to like an E show and going to like a local indie show. Right? Like you're going to have more fun, interactive things going on.
Yeah. Which is also why I like the AHL hockey and everything too. So I'll start with baseball though, major leagues. I got two good ones, I think. I can't remember the year, but I remember my dad took me to a Brewers game and brought one of his buddies from work. His name was Bruce. They were playing the Kansas City Royals. And Bruce was a huge fan of George Brett, so much so that he wore the George Brett jersey to the game, got booed relentlessly, as he cheered every single time Kansas City would do anything. And of course, George Brett hit a home run that game, to which Bruce stood up and was just like, yeah, what now? What now? Which I thought was just an absolutely fun memory that I had, even though it was not for my team, but it was absolutely hilarious to go and watch him just tear up the Brewers fans. My favorite, though, I went to the last game at County Stadium.
Ah, nice.
That was fantastic. I still have my ticket and everything from that game down here at the Thunderdome. And got to listen to Bob Uecker do his send-off as they turned the lights off. If you can YouTube that if you want to watch it. It was such a great moment to be there for the last game and to listen to, again, tying in Uecker, being able to give the final send-off for that stadium as they opened Miller Park. It was just a fantastic moment.
Favorite memorabilia, baseball-wise? You know, if you could start with the ticket stub, probably from that last game, I'm sure you have all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I got all the stuff from that game. I know I got a baseball that is signed by, one from the, when they went to the World Series, that roster, but it might've been one of the rosters right after that, signed by a bunch of by the guys from the team. That one's really nice. And then, obviously, we've got all the bobbleheads making collections down here. So
we have, and I have a ton over here too. I do have a ticket stub and certificate from Robin Yount's 3,000th hit game. I wasn't there, but I do have one. I also have a professionally photographed, taken picture from County Stadium, basically from like front row, of Hank Aaron in the batter's box, Johnny Bench catching. And in this picture, which is slightly off from being directly behind it, you can see Hank Aaron's bat is broken and you can see the ball. And it's such an amazing picture. So I have that. And I have a Billy Beane signed baseball. My sister got it. And obviously, for her, better to give a baseball to. Thanks, sis. It's sitting in a plastic baggie in a drawer out of sunlight. I don't know that it'll ever be worth more than $12, but hey, retirement, here comes BC Tunney.
He's ready. He's ready. When he's searching for something to buy that last beer. Hey, man, I got this ball.
Hey, what is that? Billy Beane. we don't need to really talk NCAA tournament, do we?
No, we don't. But I did want to bring up another memory just because your rare triple play made me think of this. And we talk about minor league games. So when Dylanator and I first started dating, me being a big fan of hockey, I wanted to, you know, take her to a hockey game. So we went to the first Admirals game we went to. Goalie fight.
Goalie fight. Nice.
And I said, enjoy the shit out of this. You will never see it again.
Yeah. Pretty rare.
It never happens. And that was like the coolest thing as they skate out to center ice and just went at it.
Was it against Chicago?
Oh, man. I don't even remember who they were playing. Couldn't even
probably
tell you. Might have been Dallas. Usually it's the closer ones.
Usually you'd have goalie fights. It's like your arch rival. Like, all right, we've had enough. I'm fucking going to fuck up their goal. Yeah, but you can fuck me up.
You want to go?
Like, one goalie was French.
I was going to say, that's weird. Is the other one Russian? We fight now center ice.
Oh.
You go, drop glove.
Uh-huh. Baguette. Let's talk, though, about old number 12. From the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, that one.
No longer, obviously, a Green Bay Packer, but will he be on any team this next season? Could he possibly be done?
I still believe he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler at the end of this because, well, it seemed like that's where he was kind of going to go, and there's nobody left. So he ain't going to be playing backup to nobody, that's for sure. And I don't think he's going to retire because I think he would have said he was going to retire. And boy, nobody, it seemed like a lot of people didn't really want him. He was trying to get to Minnesota. You know, they wanted to move on with their rookie. Yeah, I don't know what was going on with the Giants. They got Russell Wilson now, but, you know, there was a couple places he was trying to go. And
I don't think Aaron had any interest in going to the Giants. I think he had his heart set on the Rams when he heard Stafford might be leaving there because they would have had enough money to sign him and Davante Adams. Well, they signed Davante Adams, but they kept Matt Stafford. I don't see him going to play for a Tennessee. That's really the only other team that didn't sign someone or has someone who is kind of there. Or a team that would make sense. But yeah, it's Pittsburgh. And what does Pittsburgh do? I asked this Ray and Andrew, what does Pittsburgh do if they don't get Rodgers? They just stick with Mason Rudolph? Because, like, who else is out there to get now? Like, not even Jameis Winston. He's in New York. I mean, you could maybe trade for somebody if you wanted to.
That's a tough... Unless they trade up and get somebody in the draft and start a rookie, I don't think that's going to be, you know, I don't think DK Metcalf would be happy about that. I don't think that's why he came to Pittsburgh.
What about Rodgers to the Browns?
you know, and Russell Wilson, what I heard was almost tied to there, went and met with them. They got some wide receivers. I mean, they're always the laughable Browns that can never seem to do shit, but.
I mean, Pittsburgh makes the most sense, right? Like,
it makes a lot of sense between his relationships with Tomlin and all that as well, and the roster and, you know, they have.
Like, it's funny. Some people will be like, well, Rodgers doesn't want to come in there and he has to do what Tomlin wants, you know, everything else. I think it'd be the complete opposite. I think Tomlin would bring him in and be like, tell me what you need to succeed. Tell me what you need to make us better. Right. Like, let's work together. Right. Like, if it's, you know, we don't, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the greatest guy in the world. Aaron Rodgers on the other, I'm going to lay my complete fanship out for you, so you know exactly what I mean. As I sit here and look at the Packer flag that I have in my house and DP wearing his Green Bay hoodie right now.
Oh, shit.
He's my favorite Packer. I consider him the greatest thrower of a football. He's the most talented quarterback arm-wise, throwing-wise ever. And if you don't believe it in the stats, watch some of the film from when he won his first MVP to when he won his last MVP. The guy is ridiculous. Is he the most likable person? Absolutely not. Is he a little out there? Is he a little disconnected? Probably. But I think he gets a bad rap overall on the amount of negativity that he has brought and caused in the organizations he's been in. Does he deserve some of a percentage of that? Yeah, but not the majority of it. I don't think so.
I think he's very much gotten crazier with age, it seems. So
he helped himself out, right?
And yeah, he certainly is not going to make a lot of friends with what he says at this point, especially with his online or, you know, on every show, the other shows he's on, but whatever. Yeah, you can't argue with how phenomenal he was as a quarterback or is. And on top of everything you mentioned, you know, the intellect he had as well to read the defense pre-snap and know exactly what was going to happen and make just ridiculous plays that normal people don't make and 99% of other quarterbacks don't make. Like,
I have him at the sixth greatest quarterback of all time.
I'd have to think about all of mine, but that's right about right. Brady, Montana.
He's still playing. He's playing. He just lost.
Which ones? Mahomes.
There, that's three. Yeah.
Lamar, maybe. I don't know. Well, you wouldn't
all
have
time yet.
All time, yeah, you're true.
Time. So all time, yes. Those are my top three. Is still until when Mahomes wins his fourth Super Bowl, he will pass Montana. But until then, he will not. So Brady, Montana, Mahomes, Peyton Manning.
Peyton, yeah, geez.
John Elway at five.
All right.
This is for me. Like, yeah, but dude, the guy carried the Broncos to like three Super Bowls.
Nobody, they were garbage.
And then finally got somebody and won two in a row. Like, not only that, like, talent wise, he's one of the greatest ever. And he won two, and he won two in a row, and he went to three others. Like, he's top five. Like, the skill is enough where the Super Bowls put him in the top five for me. Now we go down, right? Now we go down the lists because Eli Manning's not in his top 10 despite winning two Super Bowls, right? Mm-hmm. So six for me is Rodgers. Four MVPs, by the way, everybody. Seven for me is Brett Favre. Three MVPs, by the way, everybody. Eight is Drew Brees. Won the Super Bowl, tons of records, longevity, just brilliant, right? Nine, Marino.
Ooh.
10, Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner, yeah. Led the greatest show on turf. I mean, they,
there's one other person numbers. That's right up there.
I'd have Steve Young up there, too, now that you're talking about it.
Steve Young is there actually, to be honest with you, I have Dan Marino at 11 and Steve Young at 8, but that's not, you can flip flop some of those guys. Steve Young is up there. I think
when
I
you get
had
that
Marino.
Close, when you get to those, that level there, there's a lot of guys that are right.
I think the smarter thing to do would be Breeze at 8. No. Young at 8. Breeze 9, Marino 10, Warner 11. That's what I'm going to officially go with.
Where does Warren Moon fit in your list? One of your favorites, isn't he?
Somewhere between 12 and 50. Love Warren Moon. Warren Moon, Ernest Gibbons, Haywood Jeffries. Who else was on that team? Yeah.
Back when it was the Houston Oilers.
Was a young Ricky Prohl on that team? No, that's too early.
I want to know.
You want to know the Houston Oilers receivers from Warren Moon?
Yeah.
Ernest Givens, Haywood Jeffries, Lorenzo Neal was the running back. This is like 91, 1990 maybe? You want to
pro football reference.com? Oh my god, I type in Moon and Warren Moon isn't the first name to come up. Guys, you guys suck.
Fake Moon Landing come up first.
No, on Pro Football Reference itself. What do you want? He was 84. He started in 84. Let's see here. When did he have his big year? Okay, 1990. Let's go 1990 Houston Oilers team. We're going down the hill here. Here's my roster.
Haywood Jeffries, Ernest Givens, Drew Hill, Curtis Duncan, Tony Jones. Mike Rozier was on that team. Lorenzo Neal.
Lorenzo White,
yes.
He was the running back.
Yeah, I thought, there was a different Neal, I think, was a fullback for them.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thought we would have got there. That's last call, folks. We're done. The show's over.
You didn't think we were going to end with Warren Moon, did you?
No. Sunrise to full moon. But yeah, great opening day in baseball. Road to WrestleMania. Fun show today. DP, let everybody know what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Well, you can find me reading the brand new re-released Game Informer magazine for all you Winter Zoo fans. Game Informer is back out after 7 months of being shelved. A new company bought them, and they are back 100%, which is really cool. So go check out the magazine again and follow me at It's Me DPP all over the worldwide social media interwebs. And podcast DWI on facebook.com/DWI podcast.
There you go. We've done it again for the 469th time. Follow me at PC Tony. Follow the show at DWI podcast, right? At podcast DWI. You just said that.
Yes.
Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms. I'll see you next week. I got to go.
Stay in your lane.
Goodbye. Yep. Yeah. What? Move, bitch. Get out the way.
Eat, motherfucker.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.